Morning, everyone. It's genuinely such a joy to be together this morning. I just seeing like all the kids in the band, and it's such a joy, isn't it, to be together and worship Jesus. So let's just pray before I start. Father, I thank you for the joy of meeting together to worship you as a church family. I pray that you would speak to us this morning. I thank you for the ways in which you've already spoken to us by the things that have already happened in this service. I pray that we would go away from this place knowing and loving Jesus more. I pray this in your name. Amen. Beings, as we've heard from CMS and Samaritan's Purse this morning, it seems fitting that our subject is... sharing the good news of Jesus. We've got a nice happy alpaca up there because who doesn't love a happy alpaca? And also because the good news of Jesus is good news. The reading that we've just heard from the SAS kids. So massive shout out to the WAC kids today. Like, they've been incredible. The reading we've just heard from them, it's a little bit odd, and you might think, how on earth are we going to learn about sharing the good news of Jesus from that passage? But I'm hoping we will. But to get you all up to speed, to get us all on the same page, we're just going to watch a really quick video that's going to show us Acts 1 through 14, so we know what's going on thus far. It is quick. I actually slowed it down a bit, but it's still quite quick, so I apologise if you can't hear everything, but I think you'll get the gist.
So after being crucified, Jesus comes back to life and hangs out with the apostles. He tells them that they will receive the Holy Spirit and be his witnesses. Jesus takes off. The disciples are gathered together on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit arrives. Tongues of fire hover over them. The disciples speak in tongues. Peter preaches the first sermon. 3,000 people get saved. God, 1. Satan, 0. The end of Acts chapter 2 is written, providing mission statements for churches in the 21st century. Peter heals a lame man and preaches another sermon. Another 2,000 people get saved. Peter and John are thrown in jail. They are released. Peter and John celebrate with the other believers and pray for continued boldness. God rocks the house, literally. Ananias and Sapphira lie about their offering to the church and are struck dead. Contributions skyrocket. The apostles preach again. They are thrown in jail again. An angel releases them. They preach some more. The apostles nominate 7 deacons to look after widows and orphans, including Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Stephen is stoned. Present at the stoning is a young man named Saul. We'll come back to that later. Persecution breaks out, believers scatter, things look bad for the church. Or do they? Wherever the believers go, they preach the word, thus fulfilling the Great Commission. God 2, Satan still 0. Philip meets a eunuch, the eunuch is baptized. Meanwhile, Saul is on his way to persecute believers in Damascus when Jesus appears. Saul is blinded, Saul is healed. Saul repents and begins preaching to the same people he intended to persecute. God 3, Satan, well, you get the idea. Peter has a vision of unclean animals. Peter has an encounter with unclean Gentiles. He gets it. God has extended salvation to the Gentiles. Major game changer. Herod is eaten by worms. Barnabas and Paul start working together, traveling and preaching the word. By the way, I'm going to call Saul Paul now. I don't have time to explain why. Still with me? In Lystra, crowds attempt to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods. They refuse to be worshipped and are stoned. The Lystrians are a tough crowd. Paul and Barnabas survive.
Right. So that's where we get to in the story. I'm not going to ruin the rest because I think the Sunday clubs are looking at Acts, so I'm not going to ruin the rest of the story. But that's where we've got to. So Paul and his friend Barnabas, Paul was the one who was persecuting Christians, and then he had this amazing experience, and his life was turned completely around by Jesus Christ, and he is sent out with his friend Barnabas to share Jesus with people who don't know him. They go out on what we call Paul's first missionary journey. And this is Lystra, in our story, is one of the cities that Paul and Barnabas go to. And they are a bit of a tough crowd. So let's sort of go through this story again, maybe a little bit more slowly than we had on the story. So Paul is preaching. He's telling people the good news of Jesus Christ that has transformed his life. And he's preaching. And then suddenly... he catches eye contact with this man who'd never been able to walk. And he saw that this man was engaging with what he was saying and had faith to be healed. And so he says, "Get up," and the man gets up. Amazing. Praise Jesus. But that's not what happens. People don't praise Jesus. What happens is that the Lystrian people, they recognize that there's some kind of power. They recognize that with this message has come some kind of godlike power. But their experience with gods were the Greek gods. They had the temple of Zeus just down the road. And so naturally they call Paul and Barnabas Zeus and Hermes. It was quite a natural thing to them. It might sound a bit weird to us, but that's what they did. And so there's Zeus and Hermes from Hercules. I won't leave that up too long because it will hurt your eyes. But they say the gods have come down to us in human form. They love it. They're loving this healing that's gone on, and they're recognizing the power. But they've said that the power has come from Zeus and Hermes. And Paul and Barnabas, I'm going to turn that off because that's going to annoy me. Paul and Barnabas, they get pretty upset by this, and naturally so, because they want to tell people about Jesus. They don't want people worshipping them. These people are coming and they're bowing down and making sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and Barnabas, they rip their clothes in despair. They're like, no, we're men just like you, but we want to point you to Jesus, who is so much greater. And so that's our story. Now, it's a bit of a weird story for us today, because I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone who worships Zeus and Hermes. If you do, great. I'd love to talk to you afterwards about that. But I don't know anyone who worships Zeus and Hermes. So let's try and put this into our context a little bit. So imagine that I'm speaking to you, well, I am speaking to you about Jesus, but imagine I'm speaking to you about Jesus, and I'm going to, and we'll see what happens. Well, I'm not expecting anyone to jump up. Anyway, so Jesus is amazing. For those of you who don't know me, I love Jesus. And those of you who do know me will confirm that I love Jesus. He's amazing. He's completely transformed my life. And the reason he's so amazing is actually because God has come down to us in human form. It's not in the Zeus and Hermes come down to us in human form, but Jesus is God, the true living God, come down to us in human form. Because we were in such a bad state, we were separated from God, and God loved us so much that he decided to step in. He decided to come down, humble himself, become a man, live a pretty ordinary life, actually. He was a carpenter. He had friends. He went to weddings. But actually, he was extraordinary because he was God. And he lived that perfect life for us despite all the temptations he faced. And he died for us, for our sins, so that we might be forgiven by God. And he rose again so that we might know eternal life. That we might, when we die, that we might go and be with Jesus and see him face to face and be like him and be with him, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. But there's also the joy now and life now and freedom now in knowing that it's not about what I do, but what Jesus has done for me. So I can just live in that freedom and embrace that. And that is something that I genuinely believe and I want to share with you all. And if there's anyone in this room who doesn't believe, who doesn't trust in Jesus, I urge you to look into him because he's phenomenal. He's absolutely amazing and you need him. And I'd love to talk to you afterwards if you're not convinced. I really would. And there are others here who'd love to talk to you as well. So imagine during all of that, I caught eye contact with one of you. Let's say I caught eye contact with Ben. Now let's pretend that Ben's never walked. Forget that you've seen him walk up there to the drums. He's never walked. And imagine, during speaking about that, I catch eye contact with Ben. He's loving it. He's like, yeah, yeah, amen. You know, he's loving it. And I catch eye contact and I say, Ben, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up. And he springs up. He maybe jumps around a bit, probably hugs his parents behind him and his nan. Maybe skips down the aisle, Michael McIntyre style. Everyone would probably be pretty happy, pretty joyful. Some of you in this room would say, praise Jesus, Isn't Jesus amazing? Isn't Jesus amazing that he would heal Ben? Isn't that wonderful? Let's use this to share Jesus with people who don't know him. We can say, oh, I've got this friend, Ben. And Jesus actually, it was incredible. And a lot of you would probably have that reaction. But some of you might be a bit skeptical. Some of you might think, well, maybe there's been something going on behind the scenes. Maybe he's been having a lot of medical attention. Maybe, you know, his legs have been getting stronger for a while. And maybe this is, you know, something that's been on the cards for a while and it just so happened to happen during the service. And I don't want to belittle God healing through medical means at all. That's amazing. That's a miracle. I love it. But you might not want to recognize that it's Jesus who has done that. And the power of his spirit who's done that healing. Some of the younger ones amongst you might think, she's magic. She did something amazing. Some of you might think, red hair, hand-me-down clothes, she must be a Weasley. And some of you, I thought I'd get some Harry Potter in there. and some of you, might have a higher view of me than you should. Some of you might think, oh, maybe we should get Beth to speak more because that happened when she did that. And maybe when you were telling people about the incident, you might kind of say, well, Beth was, you know, she was speaking so eloquently and it was because of that. Or, oh, she must be super spiritual because that happened. And honestly, if that was any of your reactions, if I had a massive queue, you know, lining up after coffee, I think I'd be gutted, just as Paul and Barnabas were. I'd be devastated. Because as I said, and I don't just say this to make myself sound spiritual, like, I love Jesus. And if any of the focus and attention was taken off him onto me, I would be mortified. And I would say to you, no. It's not about me. I'm humbled, I'm privileged, I'm honoured that God would use me as his instrument, but it's all about Jesus. So please, let's praise him. Please, let us look to him. It really makes you think, doesn't it? But we need to recognise that when Jesus is shared, there is power that comes with that, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's not just for people who go overseas as missionaries, although that is obviously fantastic and a massive need. But that's for each and every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ. So as you're going about your day-to-day, sometimes even subconsciously, if you have the Holy Spirit of Jesus living in you, you share Jesus. And that could be in the way that you act or in the words that you say. Generally both. So if you're at school and you're in the playground and there's a kid who is particularly lonely, no one is really friends with them, and you befriend that person, that's something you can do to share Jesus. Maybe if you're a bit older, you're doing exams, the way you conduct yourself in exams, that can be sharing Jesus. Because you can share with people that no matter what my exam grades are, I know that God holds my future. And that's powerful testimony to God and his grace. Maybe if you're at uni, you might do something like club mission, or you might have late night conversations in halls. And you can share Jesus in that way. At work, in the way that you manage your team, or in the way you just conduct yourself in the workplace and the conversations you have over lunch or after work, or in your homes or wherever. If you are trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is working in you, and there is power that comes with that. There's power in sharing Jesus. And some people will just be like, oh my gosh, you're such a nice person. Oh, you're so amazing. Oh, I can't believe you did that for me. I can't believe you were so sacrificial. Oh, you're just so amazing. And I think it's important that we say thank you and embrace that compliment, because that's lovely. But share with people that our motivation, that our love and our joy. It comes from Jesus. And actually saying, yeah, okay, I did this for you, but do you know what? My motivation is Jesus Christ, and I'd love for you to know him because he's phenomenal. And so I just want to encourage you all to look to Jesus. If you don't already know him, look to Jesus. If you do already know him, look to Jesus. And as you share him, whether that's subconsciously, because God is changing us, it's amazing, or whether it's a conscious effort, make sure that it's not about us. It's not about how good we are, but how amazing Jesus is. Jesus has come down to us in human form as Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely incredible. And I would love for every one of you in this room to know how amazing Jesus is and to put your trust in him because he loves you so much. And so be encouraged to share him in everything you say and do. And make sure people know that it's because you love Jesus that you're doing these things. Yeah? Does that make sense? I don't know what I'm going to do if someone's like, no. Because I don't really have time to go on. But brilliant. I hope that we can just move together as a congregation and grow in our love for Jesus and delight in sharing him in everything that we do and give him all the glory. Amen.